Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Christ the King Redemptive Ministries Kingdom Lifestyles Broadcast. I, along with my husband, Apostle Christopher McQueen, would like to take the time to thank you for joining us. I am your hostess, Prophetess Crystal McQueen. We want to invite you to share with us as we study the Word of God. It is our purpose to help you grow, mature, be healed, and prosper by teaching you the Word of God. We encourage you to get involved with the lesson. You may call into the show at 1-718-766-4583 or join in with the chat sessions during the show. We welcome your questions, comments, and prayer requests. Please visit us at our website at www.ctkr.org. This is a helpful place for you to learn about us and help us expand the kingdom of God. There you can become a partner with us and see our upcoming events. We are looking forward to sharing the Word of God with you. Be blessed in the Lord and enjoy the broadcast.
Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. God bless you all. I'm Apostle Christopher McQueen.
I'm Prophetess McQueen.
Of Christ the King Redemptive Ministries. And this is the Kingdom Lifestyles broadcast. We're so grateful that the Lord would allow us to come and minister today to you all. We are ministering today with heavy hearts. One of our spiritual sons has gone on to be with the Lord, and he was young. Amen. So we ask you to hold us up in prayer, and we continue on doing what we need to do in order to build the kingdom. I'm going to turn it over to Prophetess Crystal so she can give us our announcements and lead us into our morning prayer, and then we're getting into this word. Prophetess.
Amen. Good morning, everybody. Once again, welcome to Kingdom Lifestyles Broadcast. Quick announcement this morning. Every Tuesday at 7 p.m. and every Saturday at 10:30 a.m., join us right here for Kingdom Lifestyles Broadcast with Apostle McQueen. Every Thursday at 7 p.m., join me for Prophetic Atmosphere. And you can hear us live at www.ctkr.org. That's ctkr.org. As you already know, that's our website as well. For those of you who don't know, please visit us. Take some time to learn more about us individually, about Christ the King Redemptive Ministries, the ministry, the church that God has graced us with. Amen. As well as our sons and daughters that are overseas that are also doing a mighty work for the kingdom of God. And speaking of our sons and daughters, please go to their website as well. You can locate them on Facebook as well. Get to connect with them. Amen. Learn more about them individually as well as the ministry that God has given them and the work that they're doing in the kingdom. Not only do they need your prayers, people of God, but they also need your financial support. And as you go to their website, as you go to the Facebook, you can see where the needs are. And as the Lord touches your heart, then give. And you can give by going to www.ctkr.org. We have a donate button there. Click on that. Give us your information. Let us know how much you want to give and where you would like your donation to go to. And we'll make sure that it gets right into the proper hands. And also, if you would like myself or Apostle McQueen to come speak at your church, your ministry, or any program that you may have, please go to our contact page. Fill it out with as much detail, information as you can. Also include a person that is a contact person as well as an email as well as a phone number. And someone will get in contact with you within 12 to 24 hours. And finally, Christ the King Redemptive Ministry has a Facebook page. Like us on our Facebook page. Let us hear from you. Give us your praise reports as well as your prayer requests. And also, Women of Prophetic Destiny has a Facebook page as well. Like me on my Facebook page. Let me hear from you. Let me hear what God is doing in your life. What is he speaking to the prophets? Amen? Amen. And those are the announcements for this morning as we look to the Lord. Father, in the precious name of Jesus, Lord, we thank you, we praise you, we glorify you. Even now, God, as we humble ourselves before you, as we come with our hearts heavy, Lord, we're asking right now for your grace. We're asking for your mercy. We're asking for your love to fall upon your people right now. God, you know that the situation that has happened has affected many lives. Father, I'm asking that you would just cover and undergird, send your angels right now to undergird the family in their time of bereavement. Father, I'm asking right now that you would begin to just surround them. Let them feel your arms just hugging them and loving on them. Father, I'm asking even now that you would just begin to speak into their lives, begin to speak peace and begin to speak words of well-doing, God, in the mighty name of Jesus. Father, we know that all things belong to you. We know that we have to trust you beyond everything that we can understand. And Lord, let's be honest, we don't understand why this happened. But God, you know. And Lord, we have to rest in it and trust in you. But I'm asking, God, for the family and those that are connected, Father, that as you undergird them, that we bind that spirit of depression. God, that we bind that spirit of guiltiness and that low place that the enemy wants to use to take people into another direction, that want to take them away from you. Father, draw everyone in closer to you than they ever known you before, in the mighty name of Jesus. Now, God, even the mind, I'm asking that you would just cover their minds, God. In this moment of weakness, Lord, don't let the enemy come and try to take their mind and put and insert thoughts in there that are not glorifying you, thoughts that are not giving you the praise, thoughts that are going to pull them out of the direction that you're really divinely taking them in. We bind that in the name of Jesus right now. We release the angels of protection about them in Jesus' name. Now, Father, as we continue to come, Lord, speak through the man of God. Speak words of wisdom, words of deliverance, words of kindness, God. Let us hear your voice in his voice in the name of Jesus. Now, God, we ask every prayer warrior, God, we intercede. Hallelujah. God, we ask for the mantle of prayer more now than ever to fall upon your people. God, we need to pray and seek after you like never before. We need to know you like never before. We need to get into your face. We need to attune our ears to your voice so that we may pray the will of the Father in the earth. Your will in Jesus' name. Now, God, we thank you. We praise you. We glorify you. We magnify you for all you've done. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.
And amen. Thank you for that wonderful prayer this morning. We are continuing in the same vein that we were ministering before. It's one of those type of messages where we're told and we are instructed to change and conform. Change and conform. And it seems to be the hardest thing because everyone wants to be their own. I want to be able to say this is about me and this is mine. And, you know, it can be about you and this can be yours, but there's also a mandate for you to conform to the image of God's dear Son, Jesus. And that's why we're into this. We're dealing with this because that is the focal point, that is the point, if you will, of all of this, is that we actually look like him. We respond like him. To be like Jesus. I remember we used to sing that song, to be like Jesus, to be like Jesus. Oh, I want to be like him, you know. And people stop singing those type of songs because they want to look like themselves And as long as you watch other people who seem to be prospering live any kind of life and then say Jesus on top of it, you know, you want to live your own kind of life and put Jesus on top of your brand of what Christianity is. But the Reformation that God is bringing us back into and bringing us into really deals with the reality that we have to be the children of God, the way that God designed for us to be the children of God.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. So it is one of those situations where we have to sit back and allow him to work on us, work through us, amen, and whatever he wants, however he wants to do it, we just simply say amen, amen,
yeah.
And it is so. Because when we do that, then we know that God can get the glory fully out of us. Until that point, then we are people who say but don't do. Amen. We are hearers of the word, but not doers of the word. Amen.
Mm-hmm.
And we've been dealing with the fact that this word has been twisted up so much that people who have heard partial word have now, they set up within themselves walls and borders so that when the truth comes, they refute the truth. Amen. It fulfills the scripture that says, in the last day, men will not endure sound doctrine, but having itching ears, will heave unto themselves teachers. And we see a lot of teachers out right now telling you, you know, it's God's will for you to be rich and for you to live that lifestyle. And it is, that's how we demonstrate the power of God through the wealth that we have. And God never told us to go out and live wealth and demonstrate his power through the wealth that we have. And, you know, your will, your desire, your... He said, no. We are challenged to conform to the image of his son. And as we are conforming to the image and the will of God, then God sends along the wealth, the prosperity. Amen.
Mm-hmm.
But God never gives you blessing without conformation, amen, not confirmation, conformation, amen, but we are challenged to be transformed, amen.
Mm-hmm.
So as we look, even as we are dealing with this, our time of bereavement here, we always hear the scripture, Romans 8:28, and we know that all things work together for the good of those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose, for whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, who he predestined, these he also called, and whom he called, these he also justified, and whom he justified, these he also glorified. What then shall we say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? Amen. So as we begin to look at that, we understand that there are some things that happen in life, and it's not necessarily for evil. God always does stuff for good. Amen. I was sharing with the family during their time of bereavement, and they were asking, how does this happen? How could this happen? And I said, it's not so much how and why did it happen. We seek those answers for closure, amen.
Mm-hmm.
But as we look at it in kingdom understanding, then we understand that everything that God does is for purpose and with plan, amen. So God doesn't just... It didn't just happen and then God responds to the fact that it happened. God already knows what he has set up and planned. Amen. We can't truthfully say that God is in control and then take certain things we want to maintain control on, take those things out and say, but he don't have control over this. No, my brother and sister, he has control over all of that. Amen. So if God is in control, and he will be in control, God has control over life and death. Amen.
Mm-hmm.
when we go to the scripture, we understand that Hezekiah, amen, at a certain point of his life, was told by the prophet Nathan, he was told, get your life in order, get your stuff in order, amen. And he said, for you will die and not live, amen. And he said, you know, why? He started crying out, turned his face to the wall. And before the prophet could get out of the court, the Lord sent him back in and said, the Lord has heard your cry, and it's given you 15 years. Go to the temple, offer the proper sacrifice. And as he did so, he went on and lived, well, you know, within 8 years, his son was born. And that was the most evilest king in all of Israel at that time. And then his son, his grandson was born from his son, who was even more evil than his father. But now if he had died at the point that God told him, you know, set your house in order, then he would not have been able to get to the point where those two kings would have been born. Who knows, the redemption of Israel may have rested upon God being able to lead them in a different direction. But, you know, we don't understand the wisdom of God beforehand. We understand the wisdom of God after. Amen. That's why it takes faith to walk this walk. Amen. Because everything is not going to hit you like you want it to hit you. Amen. And I was sharing with you all last Tuesday, I do believe it was, that as God begins to take us through our transformation and deal with our conformation, he doesn't tell us the end result. What he does is he begins to show us the end while we're still at the beginning. Now, we know that God knows the end at the beginning. Amen. Because he's not a God that's bounded by time, so he's outside of time. So as he's outside of time, then he's able to look into time and set things in order. He knows the path you should take because he's looking at the pitfalls around the other decisions you may make. Amen. And what he does is he says, go this way, I'll bless you, I'll cover you. And when you get off track, then he sends an opportunity and those who will pull you back on track so you can continue down the path that he's designed. Amen?
Amen.
But if God showed you everything that you were going to go through, some of us would not, you know,
what did he say?
Most of us, a lot of us, wouldn't be saved and pursuing after God.
Mm-mm.
Huh? So we went to Abraham. We went to Abraham in Genesis, the 12th chapter, 12 and 1. Amen. And it says, now the Lord has said to Abraham, get out of the country, from your family, from your father's house, to a land that I will show you. Now, it's interesting that he begins to go directly in comfort zone, begins to talk to you about where you are comfortable and where you have support for your comfort. You see that?
Mm-hmm.
Out of your country, we all think alike. We live in the same place. As Americans, we have Americanized and Western thinking. Amen? Huh? From your family, these are people who come up with me who have instructed me along the way. And from your father's house, this is the direct connection to your family. Amen?
Mm-hmm.
So you came here because of the union of your mother and father. Amen? And your brothers and sisters came the same way. Amen? So when God begins to speak to you, he says, get out of your country, from your family, and from your father's house, to a land I will show you. Notice he didn't give a definite location.
Mm-hmm.
Now, it takes faith to walk away from everything that you know and from the comfort and the things that you are accustomed to follow God. You see that? But even in this, he gives him some promises. And I will make you a great nation. I will bless you, and I will make your name great. And you shall be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and I will curse him who curses you, and in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed. Now, and I shared this, and the Holy Spirit showed it to me, because I read through this, and normally we go through the first three verses, and we leave it there, you know. But when you look at the fourth verse, we see some incriminating evidence against Abraham. Yes, we know this is the father of faith, but it demonstrates to us that even the father of faith had some flaws. Amen?
Mm-hmm.
It says, so Abraham departed as the Lord had spoken to him, and Lot went with him. Now, if I remember correctly, in the first verse, it says, get out from your country, from your family, and from your father's house. Lot was his brother's son. Amen? So that was his nephew. That's family, right?
Right.
So as he went, he began to move on, and someone saw that he was going to go and be great and wanted to be great too and follow along. And sometimes you got to tell those who are trying to follow along, especially when you know it's against God's plan, directive, and will, that, you know, I love you, but goodbye. Amen? But that sounds so harsh. It's not harsh. When God knows that Lot is going to get into trouble with Abraham and with Abraham's herdsmen and his herdsmen, and that he's going to try to take the plush valley and leave Abraham out in the mountainous and in the desert and the wilderness, you know, he already saw where the family was going to lead him. Amen? But even at that, Lot was saved by Abraham. Huh? Twice. See, and that's why I said we don't know why God says everything that he says. But in hindsight, we see the wisdom of God. Amen?
Mm-hmm.
Amen.
Mm-hmm.
We went on to Genesis, 37?
Mm-hmm.
I do believe it's Genesis 37. Let me look here. Amen. Yes. Genesis 37, we see Joseph having a dream. Amen.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to tell you, out of this, the Holy Spirit that I'm speaking gave me a message that I'll be putting together and be ministering, and it's don't hate the dream. The dream is the end. You know, when you finally get to your dream home, you got to the home that you're going to live in, because this is what you always dreamed of having, a house this big with these amenities. And, oh, this is my dream car. This is the car I want to have. You know, it's at a certain level, certain status. A dream is not unattainable. But when you get to your dream, you know, understand that that dream may cost you. Amen, somebody.
Amen.
Oh, here he is. He's already hated by his brothers. And then he has a dream. And when he had a dream, he told it to his brothers. Fifth verse. Now Joseph had a dream, and he told it to his brothers, and they hated him even more. So he said to them, please hear this dream which I have dreamed. There we were binding sheaves in a field. Then behold, my sheaf arose and stood upright, and also stood upright. And indeed, your sheaves stood all around and bowed down to my sheaves. And then the brothers got mad and said, wait a minute, what's up? Shall you reign over us? Hmm? Indeed, shall you have dominion over us? So they hated him even more. Amen. And I just want to tell somebody right now, you may not be liked that much. Amen.
Mm-hmm.
People may dislike you. Amen. Because of the dream that God has given you, the vision that God has given you. But don't walk away from the dream. Amen.
Right.
Because if you have a genuine dream, if you have a genuine focus or a genuine vision of what God is going to do, then the gates of hell will rise up against you. Amen. And they're not going to sit in the background and just wave at you. They're going to try to get as close to you to derail you. Amen. Your discouragement will come from those who may be close to you, who should be helping you to achieve the dream. Amen. Mm-hmm. But instead, they'll be the ones trying to deter and kill the dream. Amen.
Right.
As we go on and we look through the annals of time in our history, we can see here that from this point, now, Joseph was only 17 years old when he started having these dreams. Now, he goes through being sold into slavery, into Potiphar's house, was betrayed by brother, sold into slavery, accused falsely by Potiphar's wife, thrown into prison, prophesies and tells dreams of what's going to happen, so he has a promise of getting out of his situation, and then the person who gets out, who could tell that this is the person who interpreted the dream, says nothing and leaves him there. In other words, when you get to the point where you feel that the dream is coming to pass and things may get better, don't get discouraged if it makes a turn. Amen?
Amen.
We have to be able to hold on to the dream. Why a dream? Why a dream? Because you have to have something that keeps you motivated into your progression. Amen? As you go through your process, there has to be something there that motivates you to keep moving. When times get rough, when it's a little hard to climb, when you feel that you get to the place where it's difficult to make the next step, that dream, that vision will make you and propel you forward through your process. Amen? That's why God speaks to you at your beginning about your end. Amen? Now, if you hold on to that, then you can progress throughout everything that is going to happen to you while you're going through the process of confirmation. Amen?
Mm-hmm.
While you go through that process of confirmation, God will make sure that everything that you need to have when you get to the end will be put into you, developed in you. You won't get to the end and reach your dream and just be able to obtain it but not maintain it. Amen.
Mm-hmm.
God will make sure that you can keep it, handle it, hold it. Amen. And guess what? You'll be able to pass it on to other generations. Amen.
Mm-hmm.
So here's Joseph now. He's still in prison. And finally, the Lord sends a dream to Pharaoh and no one can interpret it. And then, aha, yeah, I sort of know somebody. When I was in dire straits, he told me about myself, and here I am today. And he can help me. Where is he? Well, he's still in prison.
2 years later.
You know?
Oh, yeah, by the way.
Mm-hmm. When I got out of prison, got put in a second in charge, man, me and that person would have had a conversation. That's why all of us don't have that ability, because God already know. giving the wrong amount of authority without the right amount of processing is disaster waiting to happen.
Yeah.
Amen.
Yeah.
Some of y'all say, "Ooh, I wish the first thing I would have did as soon as I got out, and me and Pharaoh would have put me second in charge, is I would have called him and asked him, how come you didn't tell him about me?" Well, guess what? It wasn't your time. Amen.
Yeah.
Now, right now, I'm going to tell some of you, it's not your time. Amen? Get over it. It's just not your time. God didn't call you for right now. Amen? Right now is your processing time. But get it done.
Mm-hmm.
Huh? Go through it so that when it does become your time, you don't make the critical mistake of your character showing up when your polish should shine. Amen?
Mm-hmm.
So here he is. He comes out. He deals with Pharaoh and tells Pharaoh the dreams. Pharaoh makes him second in command. Only in the throne will I be greater. And then from that point, we see that his brothers come to them. Because what God said at the very beginning, he meant. Amen. God is not a man that he should lie, neither the son of man that he should repent. If it takes 50 years, God will do exactly what he said. But why does it take 50 years for some of us? Well, let's ask the children of Israel. Huh? God already told them that they was going forward to Canaan. Right?
Mm-hmm.
He brings them out with a mighty hand, working miracle signs and wonders, the plagues that hit Egypt, spoken of by Moses and by Aaron, and all of this is going on. And when they get out into the wilderness, which is an 11-day journey, it takes them 40 years. Why does it take them 40 years? Because they refuse to conform and to be processed. So some of you are stuck in the wilderness now, not because this is the way that God wanted to take you so that he could kill you off in the wilderness, but because you refuse to conform to the image, conform to the plan and the will of God. You see that? That's why God still has you there. Huh? And when you realize and recognize that, wait, maybe the holdup in this whole thing isn't God. Maybe it's me. You have an opportunity at that point to change your mind. Amen?
Mm-hmm.
Conform. Amen? Huh? That's why the Bible says so clearly in Romans, the 12th chapter. Amen?
Mm-hmm.
Huh? It says simply, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your body a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. Amen. In other words, God isn't asking you about anything that's too hard for you to do. Conforming. Amen.
Mm-hmm.
You see that?
Mm-hmm.
He's trying to get you to conform because it is easy to do. Amen. It's reasonable. You see that?
Mm-hmm.
And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Y'all see that?
Yeah.
So with a confirmation comes a transformation. You see that? Be transformed by the renewing of your mind that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect, here we go again, will of God. See, nothing that happens is really about your will, your like, your desire, your comfort zone. I'm just giving you three examples. Amen, of how God wants you to conform and be transformed. You see that?
Mm-hmm.
Let's give you another one. Job. Do you think that if Job would have found out at the very beginning that he was going to be tried and he was going to lose his family and every possession that he had and that he was going to go through the personal discomfort and sickness and boils and things upon him, do you feel that Job would have just went ahead and went through it? It would have been very difficult for him to have heard that he was going to lose his children and his family and everything that he had.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Yet and still, as he's going through it piece by piece, Job gives a testimony. The Lord God giveth, the Lord God taketh, blessed be the name of the Lord. See, God can sometimes, he knows where we are, so he knows what we can bear. Amen?
Mm-hmm.
And it's true that he will not put more on you than you can bear. Amen? But some of you, it's not that it's overbearing, it's that you just refuse to conform. Lord, help us today. See, that conforming means that you have to lose your identity to pick up his identity. That means he's more important than you are.
Uh-huh.
That's difficult. Because we want everybody to think that we're the reason that the sun shine today. Amen?
Mm-hmm.
We want people to think that we're the reason why everything that happened will happen, can happen, because without me, it don't happen. Well, guess what? God is trying to show you that it's not about you. It's about him. You know? And when we take that on and we grab hold of it, then we'll realize that in his plan, in his will, is our fulfilledness. Or we can be fulfilled in him. Amen. Because everything that he does, he's given us for a reason. Amen. Mm-hmm. In his plan, in his purpose is our wholeness. Amen. When you recognize that, then you'll stop fighting the process. Look at your neighbor and say, stop fighting the process.
Stop fighting the process.
How do we conform? How do we change? When we go in with the light of the Word of God and understanding and enlightenment that there's a plan that God has for us, and we begin to change our lives and conform to the image, amen, of God's Son, then there's certain things that will happen for us and with us, amen. And we have to understand that confirmation is so important, amen, because it is the tool and the image, amen, of his son, but also the tool that he can use, amen. It'd be foolish for me to take a screwdriver to try to hammer in a nail, amen. Just like it'd be crazy for me to take a hammer and try to screw in a screw, amen. It doesn't make any sense for me to take a pair of shears or scissors and try to screw a bolt on a nut onto a bolt. See, all of these are things that, in their proper application, would work fine. Out of its proper application is pure foolishness. Mm-hmm. And so it is with some of us trying to do the will of God without allowing God to mold us and make us into his image. Amen. That as you try to go forward to do the will of God, you can't do that will until you look like the tool he needs to use to accomplish his task. Huh? So as we move forward, we can grab hold of it and we can move. Amen? We can do what needs to be done. Look what it says here. How do we change all of this? 2 Corinthians 4:1. Mm-hmm. Therefore, since we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we do not lose heart, but we have renounced. See, but we have renounced the hidden things of shame, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but a manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. You see that? So, in other words, if I'm going to conform and be transformed, I can't do it in word only. I have to do it in deed. The reason why the gospel of Jesus Christ has been misrepresented in the earth and among certain groups of people is because certain people have shown up saying that they are men and women of God, and instead of preaching the gospel and living the life in front of the people, hello somebody, they come in, they preach the gospel and try to sleep with everything that moves, huh? They try to take the people for a ride and take monies and properties and other things from them. You see that? So while the people are trying to do all of that to get closer to God, they're preaching a gospel that tells them, look, in order for you to get something from God, you got to give God something. And they're saying, well, look, I have this. Okay, well, give that to me. After all, after you give it, God is going to bless you with the answer you're looking for. My brother and sister, if God has an answer for you, you're going to get it regardless of what you gave to him. Because God answers concerning his will, concerning his purpose. Amen? Huh? Now, you honor him afterwards. But if it costs you something to find out his will, run from that because that's not prophecy, that's divination. Hello, somebody. You see? So as we begin to deal with all of this, we can't do the hidden things. We can't live crazy lives. And we're supposed to be ministering. Amen? You see that? But we renounce the hidden things of shame. That means that if I'm going to minister the gospel, I shouldn't be walking out of the brothel. Hello? Huh? If I'm going to be ministering the word of God, then I shouldn't be over at the drug dealer's house, you know, trying to pay on my running tab. You see that? I shouldn't be at the bar. See, the world looks at all these things, and when we come speaking, you know, that God is able and he can do, and he can do more than we can ask or think, then they're like, well, I heard about this Jesus, but I saw Reverend such-and-so. I saw Evangelist such-and-so. Prophet so-and-so came through. You know, he's one of my regular customers. Where is the testimony of Jesus Christ now? You see that? Jesus Christ has been misrepresented because of shameful things, bad behavior, excuses made for. Amen? Mm-hmm. Look what it says, not walking in craftiness nor handling the word of God deceitfully. See, we see that whenever the word of God comes and you turn around and use that word to make excuses for your behavior, instead of changing your behavior, you're misrepresenting Christ. Amen? Mm-hmm. And that's what happens when we see your life don't measure up to your testimony. Is it any wonder that we don't have testimony service anymore? Mm-mm. Is it because no one has anything to testify? Or is it because we decided to simply stop lying in front of each other? Depending on what church you go to,
right,
determines that answer.
Right.
Some people have structured it out because people don't know how to testify. You glorify everything the devil did, and then you said, but to God be the glory. You know, wait a minute, hold on now. We got to get this together because you have to understand that we overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. So your testimony is powerful. But the greatest testimony that you will ever be able to give is your life being lived before men. Amen. I have a saying, you have to outlive a lie. And when you outlive a lie, the truth will always tell where the lie was. You see that? So when you're living the lie or living your life, then any lie that's told on you, your life will outlive it. Amen. People will see you glorifying God and give God glory. Amen. No matter what Potiphar's wife said about Joseph, when he came out and demonstrated the power of God that was on him, the grace of God that was in him, her voice had no more weight to it. Y'all see that? We don't see him coming out dealing with Potiphar and his wife anymore. As a matter of fact, if I remember correctly, the Bible says that Joseph married
the daughter.
Hello, somebody. Huh? Lord, I love this word. Because what the devil tried to keep you from, God will make sure you get. Amen. In the fullness of time, he can't hold nothing from you that God has promised to you. Prophecy or not. Amen. Mm-hmm. Huh? You gave in the big line or the small line. Amen. They can put you at the kiddie table. You're still going to get the lion's share of what needs to be given if God says so. Amen. Mm-hmm. So we have to demonstrate this and look at these people who are trying to handle the word of God deceitfully. But by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. Look what it says here in 2 Corinthians 4 and 3. But even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing.
Uh-huh.
Whose minds the God of this age has blinded. Who do not believe lest the light of the gospel gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine on them. For we do not preach ourselves. Lord Jesus, right there. Who do we preach? But Christ Jesus the Lord. You see that? And that's why I said the problem is that the representation of Christ in the earth has been people preaching themselves in the name of Jesus instead of preaching Jesus before the people. Look what it goes on and says here, finishing out this fifth verse. And ourselves, your bondservants for Jesus' sake. So we do not preach ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves, your bondservants for Jesus' sake. So when I speak about me, I show you how I am a bondservant. You see that? It's not how great and wonderful I am, but it's how much of a servant I am to Jesus Christ. And I commend you to become a servant of Christ as well. Well, I would, but, you know, I didn't think I could ever really do that. We had a young lady that we was ministering to, and she said, I don't think I could ever do that. You know, I see myself, but I can't really see myself because, you know, I don't know how I could ever do that. And we shared with her, it's not about really getting up and thinking about how you going to do it. This isn't about a show. But in your weakness, his strength, or he is made strong, amen? His strength is manifest in your weakness, where you can't minister. The Holy Spirit can minister. You see that? Where you don't have the capacity to articulate properly the secrets of God that he's revealed to you, the Holy Spirit gives proper definition and defines and articulates the secret things of God so that clarity is given in your dissertation. In other words, when you get up to speak, you speak clear without anything covering up or being misinterpreted, because God wants to make sure that the message that goes out is proper. Amen? And that the word that the people hear, it can be received, maintained, and comprehended. But now, if I don't really have a spirit, and I'm trying to build the kingdom of I, then I have to keep me before you. And as I keep me before you, then I got to try to make you see me in a greater light. Amen? And the greater I make myself in your eyes, then the more that I can ask you to give to me because of my greatness. So now, instead of trusting God to take care of us, we begin to make men and women, you know, feel that in order to get something from God, they got to give to us at a certain level. And we've seen too many of these $500, $1,000 prayer lines. Lord, help us. What are they going to say on Judgment Day? You know, after you came in town for a two-day revival, you preached the first day, prophesied to a couple of people to get the people started, and then you say, tomorrow night, the last night, you pass out your envelopes and everything the first night. I forgot about that one. Pass out your envelopes and everything the first night and tell people that the Lord said that in this, you're going to sow a seed into this, and the name of this seed is my blessing, my wealth, prosperity, and you know, my blessings on the way, or something like that. Amen. And then the next night they come in, and then they prophesy to everything that moves, and then they take up the offering. If they get to a scripture, you know, they was giving you a little bit much. They don't properly exegete that passage. They just throw the scripture out there so you can say some word was out there. But then they spend the rest of that time fleecing the flock. They leave out of town with all of your jewelry, with all of your monies, and all of those, all your other resources they leave with. And you waiting on 3 days. 3 days they are cross country doing it to somebody else. And you trying to get a hold of them, and you can't get a hold of them. You know why? because they know that in 3 days, when it didn't come to pass, you were coming for that jewelry. You was coming for that money that they gave, that you promised. And this is the throw-off, where you must have something in your life that kept the Lord from blessing you, you know. Well, no. How about you just flat-out lied? Amen? See, ministries that are built up on tricks and gimmicks can't stand. Amen? Eventually, at some point, the jig is up. You prophesy to the wrong person. Even though you go across country, they got reach and hold across country. So when you landed, there was people waiting for you to help you be integral with this word. We don't see where the prophets or the apostles ever had to run because they gave a false word. We see them moving because they gave the right word. Amen. And it came to pass as they said. Jeremiah, they took Jeremiah with them. Uh-huh. What's the Lord saying? The Lord said, don't go to Egypt. You just don't want us to go over there because you want us to run over here. And you know, he said, no. He said, listen, God told me to tell you to throw yourself at the mercy of the king. And he will give you favor and he will lead you in the land. Liar! That ain't going to happen. We running. We fleeing. And you coming with us.
Right.
And they took Jeremiah with them. That was the last he saw of Israel. Mm-hmm. Now, was he trying to run to Egypt? No. Did he end up there? Mm-hmm. Yeah. Look how he got there. Amen. Now, why am I saying all of this? How does this deal with conforming and being transformed? The process that God takes you through. The reason why we go here to 2 Corinthians 4, 1 down through the 6th verse, amen, is because we want you to understand that it's God's will for you to conform. There's a job for you to do. And if you don't conform, then you'll be just like the 2nd verse here. It says, but we have renounced the hidden things of shame. You won't renounce it. You'll still be walking in the things of shame and walking in craftiness and handling the word of God deceitfully. Huh? So instead of you renouncing the hidden things and not walking in craftiness nor handling the word of God deceitfully, you'll be doing the opposite of that. We got to change this work that we have to do. And if we're going to do this work, we can't do it looking like ourselves. Hello, somebody. God didn't call us to look like us. He called us to look like him. We are the image of Christ in the earth. And as I've seen, the image has been warped. The world doesn't know what they're looking at. And at times the church looks at itself and we can't discern what we're seeing ourselves.
That's true.
Why are there apostles being birthed out left and right? And when I say being birthed out, you can't, for lack of better words, we say birthed out because it is an understanding of who you've been called to. And as you go through the process of dealing with that, then we see that there's a birthing in you concerning the will of God. Amen. Mm-hmm. But as far as you really, being able to go to school and matriculate to this level, you can't. Yeah, same with the prophets. Huh? You got to be called to this. Or else you can't stand in this. And when you take on a title and you can't walk it out, the first thing that happens is you begin to change the properties of the title to fit what you feel you can do. And God didn't call us to a watered-down version of Christianity. Mm-hmm. God called us to the truth. Amen? Let's give you the 6th verse and then let's finish it for today. It says, for it is the God... for it is the God who commanded light to shine out of darkness, who has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. That's a lot of wording in there. Let's make it plain for you. Amen. It says, for it is God who commanded light to shine out of darkness. Look at your neighbor and say, I was in darkness.
I was in darkness.
Come on, say it again. I was in darkness.
I was in darkness.
Uh-huh. So when you were in darkness, he called to you because he foreknew you and predestined you, amen, to be conformed to the image of his son. Mm-hmm. You see that? So it was God who commanded light to shine out of darkness. What was inside of you, planted as a seed, God called to life. Amen. And we said this before, one plants, many water, but God gives the increase. Amen. Mm-hmm. So at the appointed time, God called for increase. Amen. He commanded light to shine out of darkness, who has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge. What shined out of your heart? It's the knowledge of who I am in God. Huh? The knowledge of the glory of God. You see that? In the face of Jesus Christ. As I became a Christian, then I came to an understanding of my sonship. I understood who I was. And that began to change everything around me. Notice the light now is shining from a dark place. That means that where I was in darkness, now I bring light. And those who are in darkness around me will see the light and be able to come out too. Mm-hmm. Amen? That is the reason why you have to conform. Because when the light comes on, you need to look like him and not like you.
Mm-hmm.
Amen? God is calling for us to change and for us to conform and for us to go forward. Brothers and sisters, let's stop fighting the process and say amen to what he wants and his will and get on down the road. Your wholeness is tied to your obedience. Amen. And you can't be obedient to God trying to hold on to your personal views and likes and dislikes and everybody's against me and people are doing too much and I don't know why they're doing this and they just, I don't know, and then afterwards God chastised you, but look at everything you went toward while you've been disobedient. Huh? Now you have to minister a gospel in every place where you should have been sowing seed, you have fouled ground. Amen?
Amen.
So you have to go back into those same fields and pick up those same stones, get them out the way, remove the stumps and things that you put down there, so that you can come through and plow again and then lay in the seed of the gospel and cover it up and water it so that God can give increase in those areas. Because if you had access to the field, you have the opportunity to sow proper seed. Hello, somebody. And if you're not changed and conformed, transformed in the renewing of your mind, then the seed that you sowed was weeds. And you got to be a proper gardener and go re-deal with that field. Amen.
Mm-hmm.
It's God's plan for us to do this right. Amen. Mm-hmm. Let's get it done. Prophet, if you will.
Come on, let us pray. Father, right now in Jesus' name, God, we thank you for this word. Father, we realize that we have to renounce every hidden thing, everything that is not like you, that is bringing a reproach against the gospel. Father, right now, as your people come before you, we ask for forgiveness right now, God. Father, we want to make it right. Let your will be our will. Take out the heart of stone, God, and give us a heart of flesh. Give us new eyes to see in the spirit. A new mindset, God, a renewed mindset in Jesus' name. God, we say yes. We say yes to your will, yes to your way, and yes to your purpose. From this day forward, help us, God, to walk out your design plan for our lives. In Jesus' name we pray, yes. Amen. Now, for those who are not saved, please repeat this after me. Father, I'm a sinner. Come into my heart and my life. I want to live for you. I want to serve you. I will do your will and your way. In Jesus' name, amen. If you prayed that prayer, welcome into the kingdom of God. We, right here at Christ the King Redemptive Ministries, pray that the Lord will lead you to find a home where you are being taught the unadulterated gospel of Jesus Christ with signs, wonders, and miracles following, as well as teaching you to walk out the kingdom lifestyle that God has designed for you. Amen. Amen. Also, people of God, please visit our website. Once again, Christ the King Redemptive Ministry, www.cckr.org. This is Apostle. This is Prophetess McQueen.
Amen. This is Apostle Christopher McQueen. Before we give that final, let's just say keep us in prayer and the Henry family in prayer during this time of bereavement. Miss you, son. Amen. This is Apostle Christopher McQueen of Christ the King Redemptive Ministries, reminding you that God's will for you to live the kingdom lifestyle. Be blessed in the name of the Lord.